Let me say first, I'm very happy to see you here. With this weather, I was wondering if anybody was going to come at all. And with all the other things happening, I thought we might have a thematic mass with very few people. That here, we're allowed to have, I think we're still allowed to have 30%, and we're maybe almost there, so that's a good sign. And it's a reminder to us, there's nothing like gathering in person for the liturgy. There's nothing like it. It's a unique opportunity to worship God and to be united with the church. So even though many people can't do this, are either not allowed to, or not, they have no mass available to them, and they're joining the mass online, fine, but it's not the same. So here we are, we can pray together. We have a beautiful music to inspire us, lift up our spirits to God, and we worship Him. So we give thanks for this opportunity. Now the theme chosen for today comes from today's gospel. Where have the weeds come from? Sounds like a negative thing to think about, but it comes right from the heart of this gospel, and it is addressed, it addresses this reality of weeds. Now, as you probably know, this is one of the parables, this parable of the weeds among the wheat, one of the parables that Jesus himself explains a little bit later in Matthew chapter 13. We'll get to that, I think it's next Tuesday, if you're following the daily gospels. And in Jesus' explanation of the parable, he says the weeds are the followers of Satan, and the wheat are the people who belong to the kingdom of God. And at the end, meaning at the end of time, the harvest time, they will be sorted out definitively. So that's the primary interpretation of this parable. People who are dedicated to evil, people who are dedicated to God, and that great separation of them at the end of time. But the Word of God has many levels, and it's possible to interpret this parable broadly. Weeds can represent not only wicked men, but they can represent any bad thing. Bad things that happen, evil events, evil movements, even the evil in our own hearts. We can see our own hearts as a field that has this complex mixture of weeds and wheat. Doesn't mean we're the children of the devil, but it means the devil, he has his eye on us too. So this is a very realistic parable. The scholars say that it might be based on events that typically happened in Jesus' time when clans or families would be feuding. They would tend to vandalize each other's property. They might open the gate and let out the sheep, or they might burn the field of their enemy. There's some cases in the scriptures that tell us that's what people did. If you hate someone, you burn their field. Or in this case, you sow weeds in their wheat. It's not maybe the worst thing you could ever do to someone. It's more to hassle them and embarrass them, so that when the crop grows, you have a bad crop. So it, maybe that's the kind of thing that did happen. In our times, since we're not living in a rural area, we can apply this idea of weeds to any way that people use to attack to interfere with what is good. Probably an easy application is the phenomenon of internet trolls. You know, if you want to ruin someone's reputation, you don't go to their field or their garden. You go to their website or you go to their Facebook page and you put up a scandalous picture of them or a Photoshop picture of them doing something wicked, and then you spread it all around, spread rumors. That's like spreading weeds. So the weeds of our time are probably most prominent in the world of social media. Before we get to the question that is our theme, where have the weeds come from, I'd like to point out that the existence of this parable by itself shows us that Christianity is a very realistic religion. It gives us a very realistic picture of the world, which is exactly the opposite of what critics of religion, and especially of Christianity, will say. The critics of Christianity typically fall into two extremes. There are those who are, you might call them pessimists or more negative. They say, you Christians, you're saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, everything is beautiful and wonderful and your God is so good. Why don't you get more realistic? Why don't you look around and see that if there's a God, he's certainly not doing a very good job. Half the world doesn't have enough food to eat. They're under a global pandemic. There's all kinds of problems. Where's God? And so they say, why don't you just accept that there's nothing good or evil? It's just natural forces, and we have to just do the best we can with an indifferent world, an accidental world. So that's one side. They say, you Christians are too optimistic. You act as if everything's happy and you can rejoice. And then the other critics say, you Christians, you're so negative. All you do is talk about sin and suffering and sacrifice and people going to hell and all the burdens of the law. Why don't you lighten up? Why don't you have a more positive view? Why don't you enjoy life? And that's the other accusation. You say, oh, these are two opposites, and yet both of them are aimed at us. Some people think we're avoiding looking at negative things just to make ourselves look good. Some people think that we're making everything look worse than it is just to make ourselves feel bad. Neither of those is true. The reality is we live in a world that has a mixture of weeds and wheat. It's a very accurate picture of the world. And it's quite freeing to know the truth about our situation. It's a complex mess. It's not all good and it's not all bad. Weeds, wheat. Now you can think of your own experience. I'm struck by the experiences of these days, and I've spoken about this in other masses. A lot of problems. I mean, last night, I was again reflecting because our parish is locked down because of the COVID. And then last night we got this news about the increased restrictions, quarantine restrictions again, including the forbidding that those under 18. So that's why that half of our choir isn't here, because anyone under 18, are you under 18? You're 18. You're 18, right? So half the choir, it's illegal for them to leave their house all of a sudden. That just started yesterday. So, wow, what kind of a burden this is? Kind of a weed. So we've got COVID in the parish. We've got quarantine restrictions again. I woke up early this morning. It's pouring rain. Seems like it's been raining forever. And I was lying in bed. I was awake. And all of a sudden, I started to feel dizzy. Did you feel that? It was an earthquake. I put my feet on the floor. I said, well, what's wrong with me? And then I realized it's not me. The whole house is moving. A pretty strong earthquake. It was before five this morning. So then I was sitting on the bed, after things settled down a little bit, and I was struck by this. It's pitch dark. It's pouring rain. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There's an earthquake. There's restrictions. It's as if everything is wrong. From up above, it's pouring rain. From down below, the earth is shaking. And right here, there's this virus. So you can't go outside because it's raining. You can't stay inside because there's an earthquake. And you can't go anywhere because of the virus. That's how it stuck. I said, wow. All weeds. Now, again, that's a very limited view of things. We can look at the weeds, sure, and it's right to identify weeds, especially evil. I mean, weather is not in itself evil, it's just a problem, but there is evil. People are doing injustices and are real enemies. So it's important to identify the weeds, but it's also important to see that that's not the whole picture. it feels like it's been raining forever. It's only been raining for about 5 days, right? So, I mean, it isn't raining forever, and it was only a few weeks ago when people were saying we don't have enough water supply. I think it was just last month or 6 weeks ago, people were saying, oh, it's a drought, we don't have any water, the reservoir is running down, we have to ration our water. So we can't say that it's always raining. It's not. It just feels like it. And then the earthquake, I don't know what effect the earthquake had in other places. I heard it was in either in Batangas or in Mindoro area, so not too far from here, but I haven't heard about damage. But here we are. This place is not affected, and we still have electricity. I mean, we can't say it's all weeds. Here we are gathered for the liturgy. Thanks be to God. We should be grateful. Even the ongoing pandemic, as much of a burden as it is, we thank the Lord that we can still gather, even if it's only 30%. We can gather, and God has not abandoned us. In fact, the more we look at the field with faith, the more wheat we'll be able to see. It's still growing. It's not harvest time yet. But with faith, we can see lots of wheat, lots of good that God is doing. I hope you have this experience. Now, let's get to the question. Where have the weeds come from? Where have the weeds come from? The question, you'll notice, does not come from the mouth of the master. It comes from the mouth of the servants. They're puzzled. What is the explanation of this bad situation? The master knows. It's an enemy. An enemy did this. God knows exactly what's happening. He knows the interplay of good and evil. He knows who is opposing him. He's not taken by surprise, and he's not defeated. We're the ones who are asking the question, where are these weeds coming from? Where is this evil coming from? Why are we suffering this? Why is this all this bad stuff happening? So we ask this question. And the Lord tells us an enemy has done this. We do have an enemy. In fact, we have lots of spiritual enemies, the evil spirits. And they are intent on disrupting the growth of the kingdom in our own hearts, in our own personal lives, our families, in our communities. I was talking the other day to a woman who works for a charitable organization in the States, and she's new to the job. She brought it up. She said, you know, when I was working in the world, I had a pretty good job and, kind of comfortable. And she took this job working for a charity, a Christian charitable organization, and there's all kinds of problems. And she said, well, this is it. This is part of serving the Lord. There's going to be problems. There's going to be opponents. So where have the weeds come from? They come from the enemy. People wonder, well, why does God allow for an enemy? If God is good, and if he made a good world, what good is there in allowing the enemy? What good is there allowing someone to mess it all up? It's good to think about this a little bit so that we're not defeated by problems and we're not even that confused by it. God could have made a perfect world that worked perfectly. He could have made a perfect machine that worked perfectly. Right? He could have done that. But there would be no freedom. Everything would just work as God made it to work. There would be no freedom, which means there would be no love. Because we cannot love unless we're free. So God, in order to make an even better world, not a robot, not a machine world, but a free world, a world that can rise to the level of love, he introduced freedom. It's at least to some of his creatures, angels and human beings. He gave us freedom. So he created a perfect world with free creatures. Go back to the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect world. Perfect garden, perfect man, perfect woman. But they have a choice to make. Are you going to obey or not obey? Are you going to eat the fruit that's forbidden, or are you going to eat the fruit that's allowed? And along comes the evil one, talk about the enemy, Satan himself is the first weed. The enemy himself is the first weed. The first indication that there's something wrong in that garden, along comes the serpent. Well, he himself has made a decision to oppose God. Because he was free, he could do it. And he made a free, wrong decision. And he introduces this possibility or this temptation to our first parents, and they fell. So the weeds are in some ways fruit, although not intended fruit, but fruit of the gift of freedom. And that's the way it is. We have a confused world because we might use freedom properly or improperly. We might use it for the kingdom or we might use it for evil, thinking that we're going to get something out of it, but that's always a deception. Now, notice in the parable that the impulse of the slaves is not the same as the intention of the master. The slave's idea, the servant's idea, is pull up all the weeds. And that's one of our reactions too. Get rid of these problems, get rid of these evil people, get rid of this virus, get rid of these illnesses, and let us have a happy life. Let's pull it all up. And the master says, no. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. This is really a beautiful revelation. We could never have figured this out. God deliberately lets this situation remain until harvest time. Why? Because it's better for the wheat. It's better for us. Here we are saying, this is worse. All this rain, this earthquake, this pandemic, this is worse for us. And God says, no, it's not worse. It's better. Let it be like this until harvest, so that you wheat can grow. pull up what we think should be pulled up, and we ourselves might be uprooted, so traumatized or so confused by the process of uprooting that we would lose our way. God is being very patient here and gentle and revealing to us his intentions, good intentions. Now, at the end, notice that the weeds are tied up in bundles for burning. Not just to get rid of them, for fuel. You can use this, you can use these weeds for some constructive purpose. I don't know, cooking, drying food, heating your house, whatever you want to do. But it's a marvelous sign that God can use even evil. God, not only is he not defeated, not only does he keep, does he still get a great harvest, he even uses the very weapons of the enemy for some good purpose. That's the marvel of our God. Sin, not only does sin not defeat him, he uses even sin. The greatest example is, of course, the cross. Jesus' death on the cross. The grave sin done against God and man, God used for our redemption. So we can never be, we should never be moved to despair by the presence of weeds. We know where they come from. They come from the evil one. Sometimes we cooperate with the evil one and we plant weeds in ourselves or in our own lives. So that's foolishness. But at least we know where they come from. We're not confused. We don't think that God is not good because there are weeds. We see that he has a good plan. And he's using even what is evil, even what strikes us as a weed, for good. Okay, so this is, I said at the beginning, a very realistic picture of the world and a very freeing understanding of the world. We don't have to despair. We don't have to think that God is bad. We don't have to pretend that everything is good. We don't have to live in some kind of unreality. No, we trust in God. We know that there are weeds. We know that there's wheat. We know that there's Lent. We know that there's Easter. We know that there's suffering and death. And that's a hardship for us. We also know that there's resurrection and new life. And so we can still rejoice. Okay, so there's more to this than where have the weeds come from, but at least we'll leave it there. We, even with the weeds in our lives, and even with all the things that are seemingly against us, we put our trust in the Lord, we rejoice in His goodness.